Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Hamshad. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited earnings call to discuss the Q1 FY26 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Vishal Mehta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Vishwas Patel, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Sunil Bhagat, Chief Financial Officer. Also joining us on the call today is Mr. B. Ravi, who is advising Infibeam on corporate and financial strategy as an independent consultant. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now request Mr. Vishal Mehta to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajat. Very, very good evening to everyone. It's truly a privilege to be here with all of you today, our partners, our investors, and those who have placed their trust in the Infibeam journey from the beginning. At Infibeam, we've built our success on two core principles: deep technology and strategic foresight. And today, I want to talk to you about what we believe is the next defining chapter in that journey, a theme that's not just shaping our roadmap, but the very way and value whereby which is being created in this digital age. The theme that I'd like to talk to you about today is platform convergence. We believe that the age of platform silos is over. Now, over the past few years, we've built a scaled category-leading products. For example, with CCAvenue, we've become a trusted name in digital payments. With our e-commerce platform, we've supported giants like Jio, Saudi Telecom, government, and others, powering the robust infrastructure at scale. And now, with Phronetic.AI, we've stepped boldly in the AI frontier. But we see that the market is also evolving, and so are the customer expectations. Today's businesses, whether they are startups, SMEs, or large enterprises, they don't want fragmented tools anymore. What they want is a complete solution. They do not want to juggle with disconnected systems. They're asking a simple and a powerful question: can I do more from one platform without the friction and without the overheads? And our answer to that is yes. And the way forward is through convergence. Now, let me be clear on why convergence wins. This isn't just about bundling products or stitching different platforms together with features. Convergence, to us, is actually a mindset shift. It's about reimagining how value is created when platforms are strategically aligned. So let's look at the flow for an example. We believe that payments fuels commerce. Commerce feeds into CRM and operations, and operations will drive productivity. And AI that we are investing in will empower every step of the chain. When these elements exist in silos, you get friction. But when they converge, we believe you'll get flow. The result will be a better user experience, higher retention, richer data intelligence, lower cost to serve, and a massive opportunity to cross-sell and upsell. So this isn't about diluting the focus. It's about amplifying the impact. Earlier today, Infibeam Avenues Board has approved a strategic transfer of the e-commerce platform infrastructure business to Rediff.com for 800 crores. I would like to address why the platform moved to Rediff and why now. It's a pivotal decision in our strategy. We believe that our e-commerce platform business, while extremely strong on its own, can deliver even greater value when paired with Rediff's enterprise ecosystem. And here's why the combination makes powerful sense. First, the framework fit. Rediff Enterprise Platforms, Rediff Mail, Rediff Pay for Consumers, and the growing Rediff One Suite are purpose-built for productivity, CRM, and ERP. By adding e-commerce to this framework, we complete the entire circle. Second, the go-to-market strategy. Rediff has already got long-standing relationships with thousands of businesses across email, communications, and media. This gives us an immediate access to trusted distribution channels, perfect for bundling, upselling, and scaling quickly. Third, the power of the brand. Rediff's legacy and credibility, especially both in Indian as well as global markets, bring increased visibility and resonance to our platform. And finally, strategic oversight. Even as we transition the platform under the Rediff umbrella, Infibeam retains more than 80% equity control of Rediff. That means we remain closely aligned not just operationally, but in the vision and execution as well. What this means for investors is what I'd like to cover. To me, it means financial clarity. It means business focus. We now operate through two powerful, independent, scalable verticals. One is Infibeam, where we are focused and where we are focusing all our firepower on CC Avenue payments in AI infrastructure. And the second one is Rediff, where we are now unlocking the full potential of e-commerce enterprise SaaS, which is software as a solution, and productivity platforms. This structure reflects maturity and the confidence to align capital, leadership, and strategy to the right verticals at the right time. It also mirrors what we are seeing globally, where platform companies are winning through vertical integrations, ecosystem thinking, and unified customer experience. With platform convergence, we are now positioned to build end-to-end ecosystems. That means full spectrum business needs, develop deep partnerships that go beyond transactional integration, scale across industries, geographies, and digital use cases, and most importantly, become indispensable infrastructure in the digital economy. This is not just about optimizing what we have. It's about designing the infrastructure for tomorrow. Let me leave you with this thought before I transfer the call to Vishwas. We are not creating platform silos. We are creating multipliers of value. We are not shifting assets. We are realigning them to for strategic acceleration. And as India's digital economy gains momentum, Infibeam isn't just participating. We are building the roads, the rails, and the engines for AI that will carry it forward. We remain deeply committed to transparency, execution, and long-term value creation. Now, with that, I will pass on the discussion to Vishwas on business updates. Vishwas, over to you.
Thank you, Vishal. Good evening, everybody on the call. Before I begin, I want to express our deepest gratitude to all our investors for the successful rights issue. Your continued belief reinforces our conviction and gives us the momentum to accelerate growth and innovation with confidence. As Vishal mentioned, Rediff is now entering into a transformative growth phase built around three focus verticals. The first one being Rediff Platforms. This includes Rediff One, an enterprise e-commerce suite designed for large and mid-sized businesses to manage their full digital life cycle. From storefronts and hosting to analytics and CRM, Rediff Platforms will offer a full SaaS-powered business ecosystem. This is made by us Indians in India, hosted in India, and complied with all our local Indian laws. The second is the Rediff TV, our newest and the most exciting venture. Rediff TV is India's first fully AI-driven content platform, enabling creation, curation, and monetization at scale. With a robust ad tech engine built in, it's not just about streaming, it's about building a high-growth media and advertising vertical powered by machine learning. The third one is Rediff Pay, a future-ready platform designed to scale with the next wave of innovation, be it UPI, stablecoin, CBDC, or tokenized e-commerce. It complements our enterprise offerings and enhances the user experience across verticals. These three pillars form a scalable integrated ecosystem With convergence closing soon, Rediff is expected to cross 300 crores in run rate revenues, and we are confident it will exceed 1,000 crores in annualized revenue within the next 12 months of closing. Meanwhile, Infibeam Avenues will continue to sharpen its focus on the two powerful engines, CCAvenue Payments, one of India's most trusted payment gateways, offering deep integrations, regulatory credibility, and a strong merchant partnership across sectors. Phronetic.AI, our AI arm, focusing on building advanced reasoning models, VLLMs, and agentic AI platforms to drive intelligent automation across payments and beyond. From personalized transactions to adaptive fraud detection, Phronetic is not just enhancing performance, it's redefining how AI transforms financial infrastructure. Together, CCAvenue and Phronetic.AI represents the fusion of scale and intelligence, the future of smart, secure, and context-aware fintech. With these verticals, we are confident of building a long-term sustainable value for businesses, users, and our investors. Now over to Sunil, our CFO, for the financials. Sunil bhai.
Thank you, Vishwas sir. It's a pleasure to speak with you today and to share our quarter one FY 2026 performance, which reflects continued execution of our strategic roadmap, robust demand, and operational discipline. Let me begin with the consolidated performance. I am pleased to state that we have been continuously delivering tremendous growth quarter on quarter and year on year. This quarter two is no exception. Our gross revenue jumped by 72% year on year, reaching INR 1,280 crore as compared to 745 crore in quarter one FY 2025. On a sequential basis, this makes a nearly 10% growth, demonstrating consistent momentum across our business unit. Our net revenue grew by 31% year over year and 13% quarter over quarter, coming in at 152 crore during the quarter, reflecting strong consumer engagement and deeper market penetration. Our net take rate yet again stands beyond the 10 basis points and stood at 10.4 basis points as against 10.6 basis points quarter over quarter, which reflects the healthy margins, and we expect a double-digit growth in the current fiscal in view of the geographical expansion. Our adjusted EBITDA increased by 3% year over year to 71 crore, and adjusted PAT came in at rupees 85 crore, which is up by 70% from the same quarter last year. This is a direct result of our commitment to efficiency and sustainable profitability. Our EBITDA margin stands at an impressive 47%, and PAT margin further improved to 56%, which is up from 43%, which both indicating strong margin expansion and support superior operating leverage. Now, moving to our standalone performance, our gross revenue saw a big jump of 76% year over year to 1,198 crore, while the net revenue rose to 13% year over year to 102 crore. While net revenue saw a 4% sequential dip, we remain confident that this is temporary and already see early signs of recovery. Our adjusted PAT surged at 81% year over year to rupees 59 crore, showcasing the inherent strength of our core operations. Our adjusted EBITDA on standalone basis was stable at rupees 37 crore year over year, and as expected, there was a sequential decline of 45%, which reflects timing of certain expenses and one-offs, not reflective of our core trend line. The standalone EBITDA margin stands at 36% and strong PAT margin at 58%, which reflects prudent cost control and sharp execution. Looking ahead, these numbers affirm our platform-led strategy, our ability to scale efficiency, and our focus on value creation. Our dual approach, that is scaling gross revenues while improving operational leverage, has delivered strong bottom-line growth. As we move forward, we remain committed to enhancing shareholder value through innovation, disciplined growth, and strategic investment in our future. For the full year FY26, we provide the following guidance. We are projecting revenue of 5,250 crore in the lower side and rupees 5,500 crore on the higher side. In case of net revenue, we are expecting in the range of 540 crore to 600 crore. In EBITDA, in the range of 325 crore to 350 crore. And PAT, we are expecting at rupees 220 crore to 240 crore in FY26. I thank you once again for your continued support and trust and partnership. I will now hand over the call to the moderator for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a few questions. Firstly, on the transaction, if I understood the contours of the transaction, basically we have valued the business that we are, the platform business that we are passing on at 800 crore, out of which half of the consideration is coming against 28% additional stake in the Rediff business. So, when we bought the initial 54% stake, the value of that business was significantly lower, while this 28% stake is valued at 400 crores. So, can you please explain the reason for a meaningful jump in the valuation of their Rediff stake, or is there some misunderstanding here?
No, Rahul, you are absolutely right. So basically, Rediff was the first investment of Rediff that we made was, you know, in the second to the third quarter of last year. We completed the transaction end of September. So this September we finished almost 1 year, and within that time frame, there are two or three large opportunities that Rediff was able to work upon. First one being the most recent, as you recollect, or you may have seen in the news. Rediff has become quite a bit of default choice for very, very large enterprises. There have been news that, you know, some of the largest companies in the country have started moving into Rediff, given the macroeconomics and certain sanctions that have started coming in. You know, this is somewhat a global news, but even prior to that, we had seen quite a bit of traction for companies who were earlier using enterprise email platforms of MNCs moving into Rediff, given that the platform has data localization, it's Indian-owned, Indian-controlled, and it has been around for more than a couple of decades. So in some ways, we saw very good traction from a platform perspective in Rediff. The security standards are extremely relevant nowadays. We see a lot of movement for medium and large enterprises. You'll appreciate that a lot of BFSI clients, you know, names like HDFC Life and many others, they're all on enterprise Rediff platform. So we saw quite a bit of traction there in terms of growth of the core business of the platform for Rediff. Mind you, there are more than 20,000 different companies still utilizing Rediff. You know, on Rediff Email Pro and others. So I think that business has grown quite a bit. The second is the one that I'm talking about specifically in the news is regarding, you know, if the company is working in the energy segment. So you could perhaps take a look at that as well. The second thing is that Rediff has built out a complete Rediff Pay, you know, framework. This is a UPI-driven framework. You know, we've received the in-principle approval from NPCI. You know, the app will be, in fact, you would have noticed that Rediff, you know, mail app has been upgraded to becoming a super app, which includes pay. And very shortly, pending confirmations and approvals from from the regulator, we'll be launching it very shortly. We think that is a pretty massive potential in terms of the opportunity space. And the third area that we've built out in the last, I don't know whether you've been using free Rediff email, that has also been upgraded massively on a single stack. And the third one, which is the media asset on, and we've launched a complete media framework on television. So it's, you know, you would imagine that eventually there will be something on Rediff News and Rediff Money and many others that potentially have an opportunity to grow. It's actually fully AI-driven, no humans. So I think, and it's the first of its kind in the country. So we think the potential of this asset is pretty significant. It's great. It's got a fabulous brand name. And, you know, we had a fair valuation of this asset done, but yeah, you're right. It goes in the 300 to 400 crore range, you know, which is, you know, maybe, you know, a factor more than what we had invested in earlier.
Right. And just to understand what you just said, is the current revenue run rate also meaningfully changed from the run rate that we started off, or is it just an ugly sign which could culminate into a much larger thing? Secondly, the 400 crore infusion that this entity might do to us, what is the source of these funds? Were they sitting in as part of the cash balance of this entity? Not able to figure that part as well.
Yeah, no, great question. So the entity has significant cash balance, you know, so I think it's good, but that is not the source of, you know, the 400 crores that potentially comes back to us. So the entity has an opportunity to raise capital. There have been some inbound interest from time to time. And, you know, the entity is evaluating multiple options of fundraise. But we will be able to share as and when we hear from them shortly, and we'll update the group. But I think the transaction closes within the next, 3 to 9 months. So our expectation is that, you know, that capital will come into our balance sheet within the next, 3 to 9 months. So that's one. You know, your first question around, what is the momentum in Rediff? We've seen significant contracts that have come in to an extent where, there are multi-million dollar contracts that Rediff has signed up on. We expect that will generate quite a bit of run rate in the coming quarter itself. Now, we're talking about Q3 of this year. And, visibility is there. But again, I have to remind you that it's on a very small base. So it is not a base where one can imagine. See, it's today also one of the top 1,000 traffic site in the world, as per similar web and others. And as of today also, it's in the top 100 traffic site in the country. And we still have more than, 100 million registered email users. So I think, from a scale perspective, it's fairly large and scaled up. I think from a monetization perspective, that's where we find the largest opportunity at the moment. So to your point, I think on a smaller base, yes, they've seen significant improvements. But again, it has a long way to go. So when Vishwas said that we'll be at a run rate of 300 crores, in the next 12 months, we expect the run rate to be 1,000 crores in Rediff, given the integrations.
Yeah, sorry, I missed this last part. What you are saying is that including the platform business, we should be reaching 1,000 crore kind of a run rate in Rediff in 3 months from now.
No, in the next 12 months. As of today, we'll be at a run rate of upwards of 300 crores once we integrate the platforms. And within the next 12 months, we expect a run rate of 1,000 crores.
Right. And this percentage stake that we have highlighted in the press release, this is not considering the new dilution that may happen because the fund inflow will only happen once the dilution happens.
That's true. That is true. That is correct. So that does not include the dilution that may happen post Rediff raising additional capital. This has.
So
this,
this. Yeah, sorry, please. Go ahead.
This ownership reflects the moving of the platform as a slump sale into Rediff.
Right. And eventually, post the fundraise, when we actually receive the money, the post diluted equity should be more than 50% for sure, right?
Yeah, we expect it will be much, much more than that. But, you know, we have to...
So lower than 80,
you know,
but...
But yeah,
still will be more than 50. The reason of asking more than 50 is basically from a...
Significantly more than... Yeah, it will be significantly more than 50, we expect.
Fair enough. Just last one question. From the revenue growth point of view, we have seen a... significant growth in the quarter. So what we are seeing is a seasonality trend slightly getting disturbed for us in terms of the way we are booking revenue. So is there something that we need to now reassess that how ideally the four quarter revenue should trend every on a sequential basis, or is there any other pattern that should be more relevant for our business?
Rahul, on a consolidated basis, all revenue consolidates because the ownership platform moves from Infi to Rediff. So I don't think you would see any impact to revenue or, as a matter of fact, even net revenue on a consolidated basis. You will have a small amount of minority interest, but other than that, you won't see much of a difference from a projection perspective. And our guidance for the year is also based on consideration of that. Sorry, I didn't understand your question. You wanted to say something then.
Sorry. What I meant to say is that our growth sequentially in this quarter was quite significant, double-digit growth. And if I look at the past pattern of our business growth, this used to be relatively a smaller quarter and we should trend more towards Q3, Q4. So is there a different seasonality of the business now? I understand the consolidation part, everything will be part of it.
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think, you know, there's a range that has been provided, but you're right, typically Q1 is a slow quarter. We have seen some good amount of acceleration in this quarter. We have seen a good amount of traction from the businesses that we signed up last year. The mix of business is also improving for us. We are conscious of that, and we believe that we'll still expect to see some seasonality in Q3. We're carefully watching, in terms of how the business will move. But I think, the guidance that we have provided is a fair estimate of where we think the business may end up by the end of the year.
Sure. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain from Dr. Choksi Finserv Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Yeah. So my first question is on the upcoming data center expansion. I believe we are expanding and adding more 8 megawatt of data centers. We already have 2. So I just wanted to know amount we are allocating to data center out of the right issues amount. And when will this 8 megawatt extra capacity will be commissioned? And based on the current pricing and utilization assumptions made by your internal team, what is the estimated peak revenue that we can expect from this side of the business?
Yeah, so you're right. We have obviously scaling out of our artificial intelligence frameworks, which may require edge compute. And edge is meaning that we need to be closest to the consumer from that perspective, and we've always followed the client. In other words, when we have a client, and it's much easier to put up an edge compared to putting up an edge and then trying to find a client. So I think the strategy that we are applying is that we follow where the client is. And we believe that there's a lot of opportunities. You know, remind you that, you know, there's a lot of incentive by the government as well to promote a data center and data center frameworks in this country. And fortunately for us, you know, in many states, we have good power connectivity. So instead of actually setting up gigawatt, we are actually going after megawatt. So to answer your question, you know, what portion are we using for rights? You know, we will use some portion for the IT infrastructure within the AI setup. For the non-IT, we don't have any allocation from the rights issue perspective, because non-IT will do it from accruals. We have enough accruals in the company. We'll, because I'm sure you'll realize data center has IT components and non-IT components. And so for the non-IT components, we'll continue on from our accruals. The IT components, there'll be a few specific areas where we will invest, you know, from an IT infrastructure perspective. You know, and so I think that, you know, but like I said, our strategy, and we'll talk about it more in the coming weeks, but you'll see that, you know, we'll be following a lot of our customers and we'll be working on that front. In terms of the revenues from this, I think it should start coming up starting next quarter, which is slightly meaningful. That's what we meant. We'll not segment it out, but we will definitely, you know, you'll be able to see quite a bit of that by the end of the year.
So just to follow up on that, if it's starting next quarter, so when are we expecting to, you know, commissioning the entire 8 megawatt by the end of next year? Is it safe to
assume? No, it will take us, it may take us, you know, 18 to 24 months. We will not commission all of that. We will follow the client. So when we have a client, we get much better ROIs. And, you know, we'd be using it for our own captive purpose, because wherever in video large language models and others, see, there are two trends which are happening. One is that, you know, you can actually come up with smaller and smaller models once you have data that comes in. So you may have deploy a larger model, but then eventually in order to optimize these models, you may come up with smaller models. And so there is one dimension where it becomes less and less expensive. Inference is almost becoming free and unlimited. So I think, you know, from that, with the reasoning models and training them and trying to build it out and then deploy it on the client. So we are evaluating, and this whole structure is moving very quickly. So rather than, you know, doing a post-mortem, we are very clear that our strategy is that let's build for the clients, utilize the capacity, go to the next client, utilize the capacity, and we'll keep on building out. So, and if we get all the clients within 12 months, we'll do it, but we are going to be very cautious in terms of how we deploy that capital.
All right. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a few questions. Firstly, the Phronetics AI is positioned as a strategic growth engine. Could you share the monetization model and expected revenue mix from the AI-driven products like fraud detection and intelligent routing by FY28?
Sure. So Phronetics AI is going to focus on three things. You know, the video LLM models, which we call, you know, in some ways, more than analytics, but actually understanding of videos. Second is the reasoning models that understands what's happening within the videos. And third is a complete suite of orchestration. It's like a full stack AI solution, which I call Agentic Developer Platform. So rather than humans working on it, agents can do quite a bit of work on that. And, you know, rather than getting into too much specifics, we think that these are the three, you know, areas. They are super connected. I think rather than just creating a layer on top of GPT and providing it to clients, the way we think about Phronetics is that you need to be a full stack AI provider. And, you know, from a large language model perspective, you can have multiple. Today you may want to use GPT and tomorrow you may want to use Claude, but having said that, those are the tool sets that we'll utilize. Having said that, the rest of it is a full stack. And when you provide that full stack to clients, you have full control over that ecosystem. And even the client will have quite a bit of control over the ecosystem. And the reasoning models, we think that they'll be vertical specific. So in other words, you can think of it as a reasoning model for medical is different than a reasoning model for fuel station is a very different reasoning model. I think that that's where we think that there is orchestration layer that has to play a role and may completely, in some ways, stateless for someone who's utilizing it. And, you know, as more and more data comes in, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you would need to have, you know, smaller and smaller models that potentially give the same amount of efficiency, which is, you know, I mean, in some ways, you know, the size of the GPU may actually keep on, you know, you may not need so much. And that becomes a very important component for the edge compute. So I think from our perspective, the relationship of, you know, being able to provide, and like I said, video has huge number of applications. In some ways, you know, to us, we feel that it's somewhat untapped in this country and in many other countries as well. So, you know, it can be used for hospitals. We already use it for gas stations and others. But it doesn't stop there, because once you have that inference, then you need an agent to do quite a bit of work that humans would typically end up doing. And so when we started out in one area, and then we started realizing that this requires a full stack. And so very recently, we've just launched the beta version of our agentic developer platform. In other words, anyone, including yourself, can actually go onto the developer platform and create your own agent, and it will fully deploy it. You don't even need to have deploying an infrastructure and so on and so forth. And in that way, it will end up doing and will practically do most of the stuff for you. So we think it's pretty exciting. And we haven't seen that happen in anywhere in this country yet. So I think, you know, we are slightly ahead of the curve. We want to continue being there. How it translates into our revenue is that so far, we believe that there is a licensing component, you know, licensing on each machine. So in other words, if you have an 800 and if you want to deploy it on that machine, then we'll have a licensing component to what we provide. And then the second component is, you know, based on, you know, number of tokens, calls, complexity, so on and so forth. So we do have, you know, revenues coming in. Like I said, they're not meaningful, but they're upwards of $1 million a year. And I think in the AI world, getting to that first million is also, you know, in our case, we feel that it's an achievement. So, but like I said, it's not meaningful to be able to go and discuss and talk about it. We think that we can do a lot better. We can do much more than this, but it will have a component of based on usage and based on licensing. And it will be a combination of both, not one or the other.
So you received, I mean, you're doing revenues of $1 million only on agent monetization?
Not agent. It's actually VLLM, reasoning model, and agent combination. So we have got field agents and desk agents. So, and we can get into specifics, but the whole idea is that desk agents are there, field agents aren't there yet. You'll have few providers, international providers that provide desk agents. But I think, you know, from our perspective, if you do a combination of reasoning and field agents, it is a very strong combination with a full stack AI layer. And we can see applications in hospitals, gas stations, defense, many others. And we believe that we'll talk more about it in coming months. But we are again, cautiously optimistic about it, because we see that there's a lot of potential, and I think a lot of people are trying to even get to a point where they will understand what's going on. I do believe we are ahead of the curve, but that is not a consolation. It just means that we have to work harder to actually be way ahead. And I think from an agent developer platform, I don't see that anyone else has built that out yet. So you don't need to be a software developer to build your own agent. Let's put it this way.
Right, great. And about the international TPV run rate, has crossed about 12 billion dirhams. how much did the international contribute to the net revenue this quarter, and what was the Y-on-Y growth rate in that segment? Also, you set a target of 12-15% international contribution to payments net revenues by FY28. Which markets beyond the GCC will be the biggest drivers, and what's your strategy to localize offerings in those markets?
See, I'll tell you, you know, whatever numbers, and then Vishwas will tell you a little bit about our international payments business. International contributes to less than 10% of our overall, single-digit percentage yet, so we're not there. But we see a massive potential. Today, our major presence, if you come to think of it, will be in UAE. That is the largest geography. We started Saudi as well. We've got more than 10 to 12 clients now in Saudi, operational and running. So if you look at VFS and others, they've all started with us in Saudi. And yes, there is a target. Vishwas, you want to take this about international? And
yes, sir. Okay. So as Vishal said, I think Middle East is a core target area right now. So UAE, we have grown fantastically. Year-on-year growth and everything that is there. But the main business of international transactions is coming through UAE right now. Some of the biggest clients in the region there in UAE are our merchants. Similarly, we have now gone into Saudi. Saudi required a lot of data localization and other things. So we are investing, putting up the entire infra there, primary, secondary, within the kingdom there. This we think will act as a moat, right, going forward. So that also, and the growth in that market will far exceed what is we see in UAE market. So Saudi is a prime target. We are all primed up to take it to the next level. We have everything in place there. We have invested a lot in data localization and other things. Oman is another country we are very excited about. So four of the biggest banks there are already using our platform. Some of the biggest merchants also were onboarded last quarter. So Oman is growing very well. We might look at the TSP models for the other small countries within GCC, be it Qatar or Kuwait or Bahrain. Apart from that post, this is there. Of course, US and Australia also on the horizon. But we want to first finish off our domination in the Middle East market before we move there.
Okay. And this quarter, we saw a significant rise, a very good growth, in fact, in our revenues. But the profit, the net profit, has been almost, you know, I would say it's lower than last year and flat quarter on quarter also. So where do you see these, why is the margins, what's taking that hit on margins?
See, actually, if you look at our profits, it's actually grown as well. It's at 85 crores adjusted profit. I think, you know, there's a, if you read in our media release, you know, there's a component of mark-to-market gain loss, which is where I think, you know, it shows artificially depressed. But if you look at, and if you remove that impact, it comes out to be 85.5 crores, which is 70%. So in other words, you know, yes, you know, the mark-to-market has no impact to our cash flow, but it's the mark-to-market impact which is artificially depressing the PAT number reported. This, it's all notional. It's that is the impact for this quarter.
Okay, because the reason I'm asking this also because of your guidance. Your guidance also mentioned about 220 to 240 crores, which it's showing that it is going to be a growth of 5 to 15%, but whereas last year itself, you have done around 236 crores.
Yeah.
Just wanted to have that number. In,
I think we are being appropriately conservative. We believe that we'll be doing a lot of media activities and spends on building out the Rediff platform. So, in other words, you know, we've allocated quite a bit of capital to promote, you know, certain activities within Rediff, though it be platform or pay.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm not talking about the allocation of money. I'm just talking about that when the guidance is about, you know, the sales guidance is giving a good growth perspective. Why is not that not being seen also in the profitability?
Yeah, that's exactly. So this in consolidated basis, Rediff will consolidate into us, and we expect to spend, significant amount of, our monies on branding and marketing Rediff. Because we are launching Rediff Pay, which is a consumer, app. And, consumers would use it much like what they would use for Google Pay and Phone Pay and Paytm and others, along with emails. And so, our guidance includes the fact that we'd be spending for the next 6 months on promoting Rediff Pay and Rediff platforms and Rediff TV and others. So we'd be spending on branding and customer acquisition, which is where we believe that we're not optimizing on profit, we are optimizing on long term.
Okay. Okay. So I hope that long term also, with profitability, ROE also will see significant growth, because right now we are very small single digit ROEs. So we hope
I think that our ROE is again also artificially depressed because of goodwill. So if you remove the goodwill from the ROE, which is the result of a merger, so if you remove that goodwill component of more than 1,000 crores, you would perhaps get the real ROE, which will perhaps show. But you're right. I think we'll always look at profitability, as we build up.
If you can just mention about what is the goodwill factor and how much will your adjusted book value be?
The goodwill is 1,600 crores on the books at the moment.
1,600 crores. So that's approximately 4 rupees as a book value gone. Great. Okay. Fine. If there's any other question, I'll fall back in line. All the very best, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krisha Anandapara from Slatros LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
I have a question that of the 700 crore rights issue announced, how much has been drawn or committed in Q1, and what tangible revenue or margin impact do we expect within FY26? If you can give a clear split of how much will go towards AI marketplace development, AI infrastructure, and payments expansion.
Sure. So basically, in the letter of offer that we have published as part of the rights issue, you'd be able to see quite a bit of detail in terms of, the capital raise for rights and how we expect to spend and the timelines that we expect to spend that on. But primarily, we'd be utilizing the capital in terms of growing the Rediff framework, as well as being able to build out a defensible AI setup, which is what I just mentioned earlier. So from the rights issue, it's partially paid. So, at the moment, we've closed the rights issue, and we'll be asking for the next call within 6 months. But you'll see quite a bit of all the details that you require would be there in the letter of offer.
All right. So I have one more question. As you have announced plans for 12 small cities, AI data-driven centers, what is the expected CapEx per site, and how do you intend to ensure high utilization rates early in the life cycle?
We have been doing a lot of calculations, and we are that a lot of things are moving also from an ecosystem perspective, but we are appropriately conservative in terms of ensuring that, the CapEx will give us the returns. The CapEx will typically be in terms of software developers, the IT infrastructure, software developers specifically around AI and others, because you must have heard the news, they are few and far between. And given the macroeconomics that we hear in the U.S. as well, where some of the largest companies are throwing a lot of capital around that. So like I said, we are appropriately conservative. We'll be spending on, you know, practically the whole frameworks and the software development, the developers and the IT infrastructure that comes along with it to be able to deliver solutions to the clients. And, you know, fortunately we have, you know, a few clients who are, you know, who have already signed up with us and who are signing up with us going forward. So I think to answer your question, you know, typical ROI in a data center will be, you know, anywhere between 18 to 36 months for us. That's the target that we have in our mind. If it can happen earlier, it's even better, but that's the ROI time horizon that we think is a fair estimate, you know. And that's what we target. We're not looking at a five-year ROI because that's very hard to, because a lot of things change, you know, in terms of upgrades and so on and so forth. So we are targeting 18 to 36 months. I'm sorry, we didn't follow your question.
Any expected number for CapEx for size?
CapEx for?
For size. So as you have mentioned, it's 12 more
CapEx per site will be, I think, you know, you can expect that it'll be anywhere from $1 to $3 million.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satyam from ProfitMart Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first question is, the total TPV declined 3% year-on-year to 1.93 trillion rupees. Can you in detail can you detail this volume decline and whether this was due to a seasonality or competition or macroeconomic factor? Also, with the MDR-based payment contribution of 72% of TPV, how much did the mix shift towards zero MDR UPI? And what impact net tech rates in quarter one? Also, how does it compare with the prior two quarters? Can you share the comparison?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at the TPV, you know, the TPV that we report has both platforms and payments. So if you look at, you know, the impact of, and the platform is primarily GEM in this. So if you remove the impact and look at quarter over quarter, actually TPV for payments has increased by, you know, more than 15-20%, you know, year over year, 25 versus 26 Q1. And, you know, we've consciously focused, I mean, UPI is a part of it. So, you know, anything which is bill payments or others are excluded in the MDR piece, you know, because there we don't get a percentage, any bill payments or others. But if you look at UPI based, we've consciously, you know, tried to maintain or, you know, we don't encourage and use a lot of UPI based transactions. Most of the companies in this payment space, they play a portfolio approach. Just to give you an example, they will price UPI, non-UPI together as competition. They will say that you would get a flat rate of X percentage, which includes UPI, non-UPI, and other payment methods. And they will play the role of higher UPI transactions so that they can give a lower percentage, if that makes sense to you. Which means that if you are a shop which processes 50% UPI and 50% non-UPI, then they will perhaps reduce the overall percentage and charge across all the payment methods. That's a little gray area for us. We think that we have to be transparent to our merchants and be very clear that we are not charging for UPI, which is what has been mandated. So while there have been different practices across, we have shied away. So by design, what tends to happen is that for quote-unquote gullible merchants, they would perhaps join at a lower threshold, not realizing that they are giving up a lot. We have shied away from that, which means that we never go to any merchant and say that we will give you a blended rate considering even the UPI transaction. So that's one of the reasons why we don't have a big percentage in UPI. In fact, it goes down quarter over quarter for the same quarter year. But when we start Rediff Pay will focus on UPI. And that is what we talked about, which is that is UPI first, RuPay first, everything which is, you know, in some ways beneficial. That is where we think that there will be alternative sources of revenue and we can build out quite a bit of defensible business. But like I said, our in-fee focus has always been on net revenue. So if you look at net revenues, that'll be a good reflection. The net revenue is actually increased by more than 30% year over year. It's actually 31% year over year. So that's the one that we think is a good metric to focus on with us. And Vishwas, anything else to add?
I think you've covered it all. I think nothing much more.
Okay. My another question is, as you have mentioned earlier, waiting for the retail payment networking license, how would you obtain the license and change your revenue model? And what are the realistic timelines given the current regulatory environment?
Excuse me, which license are you talking about? In India or in UAE or other markets? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about retail payment networking license for international.
Yes, yes. No, for India, right? The retail payment, the NUE, which RBI had come out some time back, right? Which is like a network license. So right now, RBI has not replied to the applications that were put in by the consortiums. All are awaiting RBI's guidelines towards it. So it's an RBI's court right now.
Yeah, once the license gets approved, what will be the revenue model and what will the change in your revenue model?
So that we are part of a consortium. It's like building a whole network, like a Visa or a MasterCard or NPCI, right? Which has its own card brand and national switch and all that stuff. So it's a very different model. So if RBI were to decide an in principle, then the whole consortium will get its place and then plan it out as per current time. If you're aware, this was 2 years back. RBI has still not acted on it. Once RBI has decided something or given us some info, then I think detailed planning and other things, how to roll out the network will come in. Too early, too premature to say anything on that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Daga from AspireWise Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I want to ask that, given that media ventures can be capital intensive before monetization kicks in, so can you tell me what is the break-even horizon for Rediff TV? And how do you see ad tech integration impacting Rediff overall margin profile?
So I'll take this. Basically, Rediff TV is in beta. It is launched. You can actually take a look at it. There is no anchor. There is no human anchor. I mean, there is no human involved in the whole process. It has multiple languages support. And it will read news, it will put all multimedia together on the fly, on the run, and they're able to build out every story. And we've tried and tested it, and we've inserted ads. And on a variable cost basis, today it's profitable.
Okay. In other words,
we think that unlike the traditional approach where you would need to build out quite a bit of capex that you mentioned and so on and so forth. I think this one, is again a full stack. It's able to do a lot more and much quicker without actually humans getting involved. Of course, there are original stories and so on and so forth, which Rediff News provides, which will be input into Rediff TV. And there'll be some amount of podcasting and others which will potentially take up some capex. But yeah, I think, you know, we're not looking at, you know, capex which will be exceeding, you know, you can say $1 million.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, I have one more question. So, Rediff is entering the highly competitive market, UPI market, and we have the dominated players. So how will Rediff differentiate hit from their peers who has deep pockets and strong regulatory relationship?
That's been a great question, something that we talk about all the time. We won't go after the horizontals. Basically, we'll go after a business layer which is sitting on top of RediffPay, which addresses a particular problem. So in other words, we think that we'll go after building out automated workflows on top of RediffPay, which addresses a problem for a particular brand or a merchant. To give you an example, today, a lot of brands may not know the end user. So when you think about an FMCG brand, and if you're a consumer of that brand, the brand would not know you as a consumer. And using business layers and logics and workflows on top of existing consumption app, in fact, to an extent where quick commerce companies know the consumer much more than FMCG company knows. And we find that there is a gap there. And using RediffPay and business workflows that we build out for specific clients, we can automate and provide that information to the brands, which is what stands the test of time. So we'll be working a lot on those areas. And so we'll not just go after. And second is that we'll integrate pay as part of this whole communication channels. You'll be hearing a lot more from us in the coming months.
Sir, got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets Private Limited. Please go ahead.
So this RediffPay, will it be Google Pay plus plus?
If you consider workflows on top of Google Pay, yes, it will be. Primarily, some of the largest UPI players, they don't have, or I would not say they don't have, they've chosen not to build out workflows given whatever conflicts which are out there in the market. So we believe that building out specific workflows on top of Pay will be the way to go, because what you do is, if you look at some of the FMCG brands, they do thousands of crores a year, which is still either in cash or non-UPI based. And that is a market to go on because we are enabling commerce. You take what is existing and make it part of Pay, and I think they would like it because the use of cash is gone in the system. And there is no additional charge or anything that anyone has to pay for that. So we believe that that would be our approach, which is create business layers on top of UPI and go after specific, very, very large clients. And the larger the client, the better. Because finally, consumers will be attached to a particular product. So FMCG is just one simple example. There'll be more industries like this. And we think that we'll go with a slightly more verticalized approach rather than just going horizontally. We do believe that we've got something unique, which is people come to us due to mail. It's a daily habit. You'll have to come and check. And so when you have millions of email users, we have a way to reach out to them. We don't need to get them to our platform. They already come to our platform. We just need to find out more mechanisms of what they will do using RediffPay.
Are you monetizing RediffMail?
Enterprise version of Rediff is being monetized. It is a charge service, much like what you would do to pay Google and pay Outlook and others.
Right.
The enterprise version is a paid service.
Right.
The free email is ad supported.
Is it ad supported, is it?
It is.
Okay. Is Rediff in the black, Rediff as a standalone entity?
Last year, for the first time, it came in black. But historically, the burn's about $1 million.
So from the existing operation, can the blackness improve? From the existing operation itself, you are, of course, adding on various other things. That is a separate thing. But do you see, as the volume goes up, the existing operation itself can bring in a lot of profit?
Yes, I think that, hard to say before we actually prove it, but I think, just so that you know, it is pretty massive scale. So in other words, we send about 500 million to 1 billion emails every day. And so it's scaled out, tried, tested, been around for more than a decade. You know, fully Indianized. All our data is residing only in this country, no other country. So I think from all those parameter perspective, you know, I think there's a very large opportunity. And given the macroeconomic environment, I think it becomes even, it's fast-tracked somewhat. So I think that there's a pretty large opportunity to do this. I think, you know, since we took up the company last year as Infi, massive amounts of engineering that happens because, like I said, you know, as a company, we want to focus on, you know, deep technology. I think, you know, there are a lot of AI components that we've added. So enterprise email customers and clients now, they can have something called RGenie, which is the Red Hat Genie that will do a lot of things for you on the fly, pretty much like what other companies would offer as tools. But yeah, I think for us, you know, we think that there's, to answer your question, I think Rediff has significant brand and inherent value that when it's scaled up, we just have to find more ways and mechanisms to monetize on that.
And in terms of the this thing, what do you call the divestment of a part of the equity, are you looking for a private equity or a strategic partner? If you can say a few words on that.
Sure. So, of course, the board, Rediff board, will decide on the exact path forward, but it could be a combination thereof.
Okay, okay. Because personally, I feel that Rediff, when you had bought it at 100 crore, that itself was a very low valuation, but that itself was a very, and I'm sure you must be building on it. And hopefully, whatever you are trying to do, add value, will take it to further level. So
yeah, that's the hope.
The way I look at it.
Yeah, that's the hope. I think there could be a multiplier, but that's the hope again.
I mean, you have to obviously prove it to whoever is a new equity partner that is coming.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for letting me in. Thanks for this information.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, this would be our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I'd like to thank everyone on the call. You know, thank you for your continued belief in our vision, and we believe this is just the beginning. You know, we look forward to building the future together. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.